Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know, we were talking about Rob Manfred in that last segment and the interview he did with WFAN. Evan Drellich this morning for The Athletic.
He's been on it.
This is where I got the Brett Rooker quote from. Wrote an article today kind of updating what Manfred said and what the union's reply is. Not only the union, but some of the agents. And it's not what you think it may be, at least on the agent side. Or at least there is at least another perspective, I'll say. As we'll get into that a little bit later on in this. Actually, next segment, when we after we go through the Daily Gamble, we have some prop bet playoffs.
Yes. But I am excited to hear, to talk about this, because this is going to dominate 2027.
It'll 2027.
Or 2026, I'm sorry.
It won't dominate this year.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think until we... I'd say we probably won't hear much about it until we get towards the back end of the season.
Because that's kind of when they'll start.
I mean, they'll have some meetings in there between, and unless there's like a deal done, we probably... Those meetings will come and go, and we get to that back half, talks start to get a little more serious.
Yes.
And so I expect that it'll be, you hear little blurbs about it leading up, but I don't think it'll really make noise until the second half. But we're going to get more into it next segment. You got some Daily Gambit for us?
Yes, we do.
Let's get to it.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Chris,
real quick.
Yes.
The report is Tariq Skubal and Tigers are far apart in arbitration figures. Listen to this sea of money. Oh, what?
Isn't that what I said yesterday?
But look at this sea of money, though, in between. 32-19.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Big difference. This wasn't what the conversation was about, though.
I said there's trouble brewing in Detroit.
Oh, well, there might be trouble brewing, but I'm just saying that that's a C.
Well, what I was talking about.
That's not like 32-28 or 25.
Where you could be like, all right, fine, we'll meet in the middle.
Right.
Because, like, who has. Skubal ultimately probably has to give in, right?
No, he's going to go to arbitration. They're going to let the arbiters decide.
Well, he's back-to-back Cy Young. Yeah, just put all of his Cy Young awards in front of the arbiter.
Listen, why not shoot for the moon?
It's a little disrespectful of the Tigers, I got to say.
19 seems a little short.
Seems really short. For a guy who's carried your franchise the last 2 years, it's very short-sighted. It's very short-sighted. Because now you've Corbin Burns yourself with the Brewers. You've Josh Hader yourself.
Well, I hope Tariq does not decide to go to the arbitration hearing.
What do you hope he does? Just take the 19 mil?
No, I'm saying just don't physically go and hear the Tigers bashing you.
Yes, okay.
I don't think it's worth it.
Because Corbin Burns came out of there and he looked like he was a different human being.
Especially if you like Detroit. Like, if there's any chance you want to stay.
Yeah.
Don't go. You know they're going to do what they do so they can keep your number down, even if they don't even believe it.
They're going to bring up tweets that fans have sent for years, just mean things. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that as well. We are broadcasting live from the Bill House Studios. We know how. Miami last night, -3 over Ole Miss. We're going to be talking to Jesse Agler at 3:40 about his time at the game. You guys, or Chris and I, chose Ole Miss. Tony did the U because he wanted to do the cool U logo with his hands. The U won 31-27. Incredible
over.
Game.
Hmm? Over?
No, it was just the spread. But it is. The game was over. So you also went over, and Chris and I went under.
Yeah.
But
this is just a spread.
So you're 2-0.
Yes, I am.
Chris and I are 0-2.
Yes, I am.
Now, we also have to talk about, we're going to talk about it in the Big Five, but Trinidad Chambliss has had some news handed down by the NCAA about his eligibility. Bad news. But last night, the bet was who would have more passing yards, Chambliss or Beck? Chambliss was minus 30 on the spread. Chris went Chambliss. We went Beck. Beck had 268. Chambliss had 277. Minus that 30 is 247. So you're 3-0, Tony. Now here's where it ends.
Thank you.
UCSD minus 13.5 against Cal State Fullerton. We all went Tritons thinking this was easy. Fullerton ended up beating UCSD 88-71.
See, this is what happens when you pick with your heart.
Yeah, not even close.
There, everything in my gut was telling me to say the Titans, but I said the Tritons instead.
You said, that's right. It was a Tritons versus the Titans. Titans.
Yep.
USD minus 4.5 against Pepperdine. Chris went Pepperdine. We went USD, and the Toreros went 83-63. So you're 4-1. San Francisco Dons at Loyola Marymount. Loyola Marymount minus 1.5. I went Dons, my alma mater. Chris and Tony went LMU. LMU won 84-82, and they did it in double OT, so they end up winning the spread.
What did we pick on that one?
You guys went LMU, so you're 5-1 or 6-1?
Yeah, I've only got one loss. I know that.
Yeah, I know that too. Donovan Mitchell, who scored more points, Donovan Mitchell or Ant-Man?
I lost this one, though.
Donovan Mitchell minus 1. Chris went Mitchell. We went Ant-Man. Mitchell had 29 or 30 minus that 129. Ant-Man had 25. And then finally, Norman Powell over under 21.5 points. The game was suspended because there was condensation on the floor from the ice below. So they did not play their game last night. All right, into the...
It doesn't just happen.
It doesn't just happen to Steph Curry at Viejas Arena. No, it happens to Norman Powell, too.
All old arenas.
It is a pretty old arena.
Yeah. I mean, you think of the United Center. I mean, that was like a new center when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like they had just moved in.
Oh, man.
The house that Mike built.
We need a new stadium, man.
They're going to be... They're going to be two of them. Well, at least the city of Chicago will have one of them.
No, I think the Bears are moving to, like, Kentucky or something and claiming that they're still with Chicago. All right, here's some bets for the weekend. I felt like this might be the easiest bet of the weekend for an over-under, but you never know in the NFL playoffs. Puka Nacua, over-under 90.5 receiving yards.
Who they got again? Oh, Panthers?
Panthers in Carolina.
They got some good DBs over there, but I think one of them's hurt. What is this one?
Receiving yards, over under 90.5.
Over.
I got to go over, too. The guy is like a walking 100-yard machine. Caleb Williams, your guy, against the Packers on Saturday night. I saw that there's going to be some light wind and snow flurries in Chicago.
He's got a Michael Vick-like arm, yeah, from the right side.
Yeah, just like a whiplash.
I would hate to catch a ball from him in that kind of weather. Like, he doesn't, I don't know that I've ever seen him, like, he doesn't throw it soft. I don't think he has, like,
he just,
like, touch like that.
He's like Peyton Manning
throwing
in that
like a hunter.
Yes, he is throwing fast. All right, over under 212.5 passing yards.
212.5.
I think he has to go over this. Although the one thing that stops me or makes me think maybe under would be that they got a pretty good running game. And when their running game gets going, it's very easy for them to run. So I would think they stuck with that. What do you say, Tony?
I'm going to say over.
You're going to say over?
I'm going to say over.
Okay.
Despite all those things you said.
Despite everything that I just said. Next one is for Drake May, the MVP. Everybody thinks it's going to be the MVP. Over under 250.5 passing yards, Tony, against the...
200 and how much?
250.5 against the Chargers. for Drake May.
50.5? 205-0?
Passing yards, yes.
Under.
Yeah, I don't know what people are thinking here. I'm pretty sure the Chargers have a good secondary. I'm going to say under as well. But every time I do this against
the
Patriots...
That's a lot for someone in their first playoff game. Over 250.
Yeah, that is a ton. And they're, I guess, expecting the Chargers to let them run up and down the field. I don't know. It's weird. Aaron Rodgers, this is the bet I searched. I kept searching for bets. This one kept coming up as the bet to take. And it's Aaron Rodgers over under 20.5 completions. Because this dude will complete 30 passes of an average of 7 yards per pass. So he's throwing a lot of short passes. I'm going to go with the internet and say over.
So how many times are they going to throw it, do you think, then?
20
completions?
They don't really have a running game. I mean, they do a lot of screens to Jaylen Warren, too.
Under.
Under. All right. Now,
is that all you got?
No, 49ers, Eagles.
Of course.
CMC. Or actually, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm gonna open it up, Tony. Who do you think is the first touchdown scorer of the game in the 49ers versus the Eagles?
Jalen Hurts.
Well, that's a pretty good one. He's plus 600. That's actually a pretty good bet. Because of the tushy-pushy, I'm going to go with my guy CMC. That's the only guy that can score first for the 49ers. He's plus 550. So there we go.
There you have it.
I don't really have any other bets.
All right. Let's get to break. On the other side, we'll go back into Rob Manfred's interview. Interesting stuff being said. Fired both sides when we return. No traffic, at least not at the beginning, maybe at the other end. Quinn and Chris on the other side.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
3:18 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. We're going to get to it, but what a game last night.
Oh, yeah.
Hurricanes, Ole Miss going back and forth. Supposed to be a low-scoring affair.
It was for a little bit.
It was, and then it just exploded. And both teams could have very easily won that game. But Miami, I think Scraby kind of hit on it while we were here. Early in that game, they just looked like the more physical team.
They were.
And it remained that way. I mean, don't get me wrong, Ole Miss made some nice plays. A possible no call at the end with the possible pass interference.
Yeah.
But I thought Miami was the better team watching that game last night.
I did too. I felt good for Carson Beck because he gets trashed a lot for playing at Georgia and all the losses they took there. But what do you think about pass interference for college versus NFL? Because college is a 15-yard penalty. NFL, it's a spot foul. I don't know that I like the NFL being spot foul all the time. Maybe spot foul under 2 minutes in a half. But a 15-yard penalty seems like an appropriate penalty for a pass interference.
I haven't really thought about it. That's a good question. I always have hated, just in general, the college levels having different rules than the NFL.
Than
the pros. Because that's where if we were being honest back in the day, I think we're being very honest about it now, all roads are leading to that, right?
Yeah.
So why not have the same exact rules? But it does make for a more intriguing game sometimes, you know? In college, you can't advance the ball on the timeout. You got to go full court. Yeah.
Basketball.
And it has created some epic moments because of that. So I don't know how I could go either way. It could be – I don't know if I like the NFL just doing 15-yard penalties. And that might just only simply be because I've only seen it the way that it is.
I think, yeah. it's too easy for a receiver to get some guy to grab him on the way down, and then they get a 40-yard gain.
You gotta at least allow cornerbacks a little. They get no leeway in NFL. Like, you like breathe too hard on a dude, flag's going up.
Yeah, maybe just under 2 minutes you get spot foul, and then
why
otherwise
under two,
you get,
though? Because that's like the most important part of the game. You're going to give them the whole field on a 60-yard
bomb? Well, that's
bomb?
What I'm saying. Like, what if a corner knows it's a 15-yard penalty, but instead he just takes him down, and he's like, it's not going to hurt
I'll
me.
I'll take the
15 over the spot foul.
I don't know if I want to see that either.
Like, and the NFL's also in the business of being entertaining, so they need points.
Let's be real. So is college. They're in the business
they
of
are.
Entertaining.
They
now.
Are, but the NFL's like, yeah, we'll give you 50 free yards.
It's not free. You earned it.
Sometimes.
True. That's more on maybe the poor officiating that is happening.
Yeah, I feel like officiating is getting worse, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
The union has responded.
Let's go back to this idea of the free agent deadline. Rob Manfred certainly thought it was a good idea. I said it was interesting. I do. The union has responded. Great. Why don't you hit this union response?
Yes, the union response is. Sorry, I was not ready. This is.
I got you. If you're not ready,
go for it.
The union responded simply by saying, "No." Now I'll read you exactly what Tony Clark, the head of the players' union, he said. Then Warren Manfred could be veering into quote self-defeating calculation of massive proportions. After Manfred said he didn't buy the players' argument against the deadline, that it would lead to subpar contracts for players. Manfred indicated he's indeed likely to again propose. Now, he says again because this has been proposed in the last two collective bargaining agreements. Mm-hmm. The one that produced baseball from, I believe, 2017 to 2021. And then in the negotiations for... where we are at now, it was again proposed. And it sounded like, just kind of reading through some of the kind of responses, let me finish reading you what Manfred indicated, indeed offering that or proposing that in the next labor negotiation. He says, I think there are going to be some more conversations about it because I do believe that there's a marketing opportunity. And this is kind of what you heard him say to WFAN and host Craig Carton, that he's viewing this from a marketing standpoint, not necessarily, well, at least that's how he's presented it, that it's not necessarily a financial opportunity. This is more like, let's steal December when there's no, NFL hasn't quite gotten to the postseason yet. NBA is, as he said, is still in its early years.
He doesn't even mention hockey.
He did. He just skipped right on over that. And just to be clear, baseball free agents can sign during spring training or even once the season has begun. Fans, media, and industry officials often raise the deadline discussion when free agency goes slowly, as it has this winter. And we've had a couple people on tell you that hasn't really gone slowly. It's kind of business as usual is probably more the idea. I can tell you what they said. I don't know what was in their heads. I said, I can only tell you what they said. I don't know what was in their heads. But what they said back was they thought that kind of deadline would work to disadvantage of the players. And, you know, I don't put much credence into this, he says. Clark responded forcefully, as you would expect.
All right, dueling responses.
Yes. Free agency thrives when competition thrives on and off the field. If the owners are genuinely interested in improving free agency, there are many ways to get there. And we look forward to having that discussion in the coming months.
Oh!
But if their true interest is to blow up the very system, and this is where when you're the head of the PA, you always want to tie in something that the other side said into this bow. And this is what Tony Clark does. He's
very
says,
passive aggressive too.
But if their true interest is to blow up the very system on which our streak of uninterrupted seasons has been built. Now remember, Manfred made reference to ever since
we've never missed the season.
Never missed it. with the game reaching record heights and poised to go even higher, no less. That would be the quote I gave you early, a self-defeating miscalculation of mass proportions.
This is going to be ugly, but I feel like this is how it always is.
But this is
I feel like this is a very serious topic, though, that is going to be tough.
I think, and the thing is, this topic is going to be tough, and it's going to be discussed. But again, I still pull you back to all of the TV rights deals that are going to come up at the end of 28. And so you're trying to tie this piece in order to as one of the things. But that piece right there is the financial piece that Manfred is trying to corral. This is a marketing situation. And I'm not mad at the idea in terms of just trying to stay loud during the offseason. You're not completely dormant.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that idea. They also, Evan Drellich also got some of the agents' opinions on this. And, you know, Scott Boras went as I think you would imagine it would go.
Did he do some sort of riddle with every letter with the same?
He didn't give us a riddle like A through Z.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said the sole purpose of deadline is to simply restrict competition and deny players the true market. Our current rules allow for ultimate roster construction and the best possible team for a season. A deadline is not for competition reasons. Every owner wants the opportunity for time to allow him to respond to changes by his competitors. That's why there's been many significant signings more in late January, February, and March, because owners have responded. And that's the business that Scott Boras is in, that I don't know that every agent is in, that he's not talking to GMs all the time. He's also talking to the big man that writes all the checks.
Yeah.
And that's where his game is a lot of times won. He's charming enough when he gets into those rooms and has the type of clients that garner him getting into those rooms. He has often won. Remember the demise he was supposed to have a couple years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it worked for that one off season, and then he came right back. Of course, Scott Boras would say this is a danger to players everywhere.
He said, yes, certainly for the premium position players and the premium start. Well, let me read you a little bit before. He said, Kyle Tucker, Bo Bichette, Framber Valdez are among the other standout players available this winter. Boras said he thinks the market has been slow, but only for certain types of players. Yes, certainly for the premium position player and the premium starters, it has. For relief pitchers, closers, no. Others, and this is where you kind of were interested, Scraby, others see some potential in the deadline system, but they have unanswered questions. One being Joel Wolf, head of the Wasserman Agency Baseball Division.
Oh, is this the guy who said, is this the rookie Sasaki agent?
I think he is.
can't listen to anything you're about to read.
Listen what he has to say, though. Because you were like, had your eyebrow raised before you knew
it was.
Yeah,
until I know it was Joel Wolf.
He said he's had seen positive results with deadlines when clients have joined MLB from abroad.
Oh, I like that quote.
The posting process of the Japanese pro players includes a signing window. If there was a way to recreate the exceptional efficiency of the posting system for all the free agents, I would certainly be interested in that, said Wolf, who represents, yes, Roki Sasaki and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. But I have yet to see a good answer as to what happens to the free agents if they go unsigned.
Yeah.
That doesn't unfairly prejudice them.
Yeah.
MLB teams always seem to find a way to game the system and crush a large part of the class. I think it's worth exploring. So you have one agent that was like, hell no.
Yeah.
We don't need to even smell it.
Yeah.
Joel Wolf, on the other hand, even though he has some unanswered questions, he thinks it's worth exploring. So you have to know that agents like that are going to talk to their players. They're going to give their opinion on it. And, you know, as he's pointing out, it's crushing not the top 2% of a free agent. How would it affect the mass majority?
The Bryce Johnsons, like guys like that.
Right, right. And guys who are big leaguers.
Yes.
But aren't superstars.
They're not making the millions and millions and millions of dollars.
And so, you know, it brings up a very good, I think, starting point, because it seemed like even Tony Clark, to some extent, is open to having some of these conversations.
Yeah, my ears perked up when he said there's there's many pathways to this.
So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Maybe it's a good thing that this is starting to pop up here in January in terms of, I know they haven't had conversations, but at least there's some ideas being floated out there
right.
a little bit. All right, let's get to break. What we got on the other side? Oh,
your guy.
My guy, Jesse Agler. We'll join us, talk a little Miami football. He was there in the building last night. We'll find out how it was and if he's going to make a trip to Miami to see if they can finish it off. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side. 3:36 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Just kind of laid out the possible talking points for the union and Major League Baseball is...
You want to go negotiate? No, no. It sounds like you're ready.
No, no, I'm good.
Okay.
I like my job.
Okay.
Jesse Agler will join us here shortly. All guests on the 97.3 The Fan, join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Colin Kaepernick. No, not Colin Kaepernick. He threw some gasoline on this John Harbaugh to Miami.
Oh, I have something in the Big Five, too, about his demands, John Harbaugh's demands for teams. But
that's why
ahead.
I brought it up. Yeah. I was going to say that in the Big Five, Scraby's got some of those demands that could possibly lead to him going to Miami. We'll see.
He does make Colin Cowherd makes a pretty darn good point because the owner and the Harbaugh family go way back.
I'm sure they do.
Because...
And listen, he can get out of it. Listen, these are the demands that I'm sure John will deny, and we don't know if they're true.
And you know, you're going to have to wait till the Big Five, but they're ridiculous.
But he can get out of all of it, especially assuming he wants to pick a GM. If they're buddies already and they make a move and it already aligns, he won't have to say nothing. It'll look like he came in after.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is that John Harbaugh thing is the thing that's going to get extremely hot.
I mean, obviously he's a great coach. He's not Bill Belichick.
No, he's not. But he's his closest thing you got to it right now.
Really?
I mean, who else is in even in that? Even
Andy Reid.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Andy. After,
what does he make?
Well, after Andy, he who's not available, by the way.
He's not. You're right. Andy. After Andy,
there's no one.
All right. All right.
Are we putting my man for the Eagles there already?
I am not going to put Nick Sirianni up there. I'm not going to put Mike Vrabel up there either, okay?
Okay.
Listen, so, I didn't say Kyle Shanahan.
He's the best available, and you try to leverage that.
He's
as much
definitely
as you can.
The best available. I don't know. Mike McDaniel's back on the market.
About an hour and 6 minutes away from hopefully another terrific semifinal matchup in NCAA football. Oregon, the fifth seed. Indiana, the one seed, and they've looked almost unbeatable since taking down Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean,
they've looked unbeatable all year, but they especially have looked tougher since having to take down Ohio State and then turning around and beating.
I don't think they took down Ohio State. They played Alabama.
No, they played Ohio State in the final,
I see what you're saying.
The game before
yes.
they beat
Duh.
Up on Alabama.
Yes.
They took beat a terrific Ohio State team.
Yeah, they did.
So, Oregon is capable of beating anybody. So, we know that. But this should be a really, really, really good
game. I told
game.
You, I'm cheering for Indiana because my grandpa went there and he never got to see the football
well,
team
I need
again.
You to call Jess because I was stalling. Oh. This was a stall tactic to allow you to call.
Oh, let's go to traffic then. Oh, I didn't know that.
All right, let's go to traffic.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, joining us, my good friend, my partner, Jesse Agler. graduated from the University of Miami, and he got to go to the semifinal matchup last night. I got to say, Jess, when I saw the first photo, I stared at it for like 10 minutes. I was like, is he not? He's no way he's there. He's not there. And then as I text you, you eventually got back and said that you and Jonah were both there. How did were you planning this the whole time, like if they got to this point?
Yeah, when they were announced that they were in the playoff, you know, I got the emails immediately from the school about get your tickets. And, you know, they had the prices listed for each round. And I was like, well, I'm not going to fly to Dallas for the second round. I was like, that kind of feels unreasonable. I was like, but they're going to be in Phoenix, third round. You know, it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't like ridiculous. I was like, all right, I'll put a deposit down on that. And, you know, you get it back if they don't make that round. And I didn't necessarily think that they were going to get that far. So I did that. And, you know, I was looking at the national championship game. Of course, it's back, you know, in Miami, and yep, the prices for that were exorbitant. So I was like, all right, I'll like make the semifinal the plan. I can drive over. It's during winter break, so I'll bring Jonah. And so, yeah, that was the idea. Maybe they surprised me a little bit by getting that far, by, you know, beating Texas A&M and beating Ohio State, but that's a pleasant surprise. And man, it was awesome. Like, that's the first time I've been to a Miami football game as a fan since I moved to San Diego, you know, 13 years ago or whatever it is now. So it was cool. It was worth the wait, that's for sure.
That it was a terrific game, first and foremost. And I was feeling every moment with you as the game was going along. I knew exactly how you were feeling. You took Jonah with you. Took your son with you. Tell us what that was like. Well, from what I know, Jonah's hasn't been super interested in the sport. So the fact that you got him there, I was super pumped for you.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, he's definitely not like the world's biggest sports fan. He has he's very smart. He's like got this intellectual curiosity about sports more than like a fan interest, if that makes sense.
Right.
So like, you know, I'm trying to get him into it, and he's like on a website on my phone, like reading the rules of football. Like that's kind of like, you know, that's what he's up to. But, you know, I mean, this was his first football game. It was tough because everybody stood the entire time.
Right.
He's nine.
Right.
And he's a tall 9-year-old, but he's still nine. And there's a 50-year-old man in front of him. So he couldn't see the field.
Okay.
So, and like, he didn't want to stand on his seat, you know, and like, so he had a hard time kind of seeing everything. So it was maybe not like the best experience from that standpoint for him, for like watching the game. But I think, you know, being in that environment was eye opening to him. You know, we had a lot of talk about when cursing is and is not appropriate after the fact. Because, yeah, it's a big football game. Like, it's nonstop the entire time. And, you know, we were in the Miami section, kind of in the corner of the end zone there. So like, you know, anytime anything good happened for the Canes, you know, everybody around us who he had never met in his life until, you know, an hour before, they're high fiving and he's looking at me like, am I allowed to high five these people? You know, it was like all that kind of stuff. So it was cool, you know, kind of having that experience. My wife asked me when we got home like 20 minutes ago, she's like, do you think he's gonna be like a big football fan now? I was like, no, I think we went backwards on that. But like, nonetheless, it was awesome and something I know I will, you know, forever cherish. And the rest of the trip, he had a great time. They had a cool like robotic froyo machine at the stadium. That was kind of like a highlight for him. So, you know, hopefully he remembers those things and it's all kind of a big happy memory.
So you've already taken away one of my questions, which was, will you be heading to the national championship? If it's an exorbitant amount, I don't expect you to be headed to Miami. I mean, in terms of the game itself, I know you were a little uneasy with some of the mistakes that the Miami University of Miami was making. But I don't know, from watching it on television, they seem like the more physical team from start to finish. And they just seemed like the better team, quite frankly, from start to finish. At least that's how it played out on television.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any doubt. And I mean, like, you know, you watch enough sports in your life, right? And you just sometimes you get that bad feeling. You know, you're making a lot of mistakes. You're letting the other team hang around. Usually you end up paying a price for that. You know, we see it in baseball. You and I talk about it 25 times a year probably in the regular season. You know, you let a team hang around when you shouldn't. Generally, you're not going to get the result you want. And so, you know, like it was going through my head the whole game. I was like, you know, we might be 15 mistakes better than Ole Miss, but we're not 20 mistakes better than Ole Miss.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not like they made 20. I mean, there were two dropped pick sixes, you know, a couple missed wide open, probably would have been touchdown throws.
Yeah.
You know, other drops, you know, with the receiving core, the busted play, the missed field goal, all that. You know, it's kind of like, oh, man, like the penalties. And like they made more mistakes in that game than they made probably in the previous six games put together. And it was like, you know, usually you get this deep into a playoff run or deep into an important game. Yeah, you're not going to get away with that. But I think that goes to just how much better they were. And the cool thing, you mentioned this, like not to get two X's and O's, but like they are a physical football team, both sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, that still wins in 2026, which is cool because, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, sort of you had the analytics revolution in baseball that we talk a lot about on the broadcast and, you know, kind of how maybe that had gone too far, you know, with some things. I think you had a similar thing play out in football. And, you know, that they're a really good reminder that if you have a dominant line, one or the other or both, as I think is the case with them, you're still going to win some football games.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch, I think.
You're going to be in position for sure to win some of those football games. Jesse Agler joins us here, my partner, voice of the San Diego Padres. Was it as intense in the building as it seemed on TV? There were times where it felt like you could like cut the tension with a knife through the television screen.
From moment one. I mean, it was like, first of all, like walking in, this is a little bit like, you know, maybe TMI personal, but like walking in, you know, like I grew up in South Florida. I went to the University of Miami. So like in my life, I'd always taken for granted that like you're going to be surrounded by people who are fans of this team. You know, you go to the games or whatever. And like I've been here on the West Coast for, you know, since 2014, 12 years. And like walking in yesterday and like seeing all these people in Miami shirts, I was like, oh man, like I kind of like chilled. Like it was just weird. You know, I was like, I haven't experienced this in so long. It was kind of a weird, you know, moment of like feeling something that I hadn't felt in a long time. And then like from the time we got into the stadium about an hour before kickoff. And I mean, the place was pretty much like packed. Everybody was pretty much in their seats like an hour out. And like both sides, the Ole Miss side, the Miami side. And it was just like everybody knew A, how big of a game it was. And everybody knew B, it was probably going to be a close game. Like nobody, I think, on either side was like, yeah, we're going to run away with this. And it certainly played out that way. And I mean, it was like, it was intense. It was like every mistake felt like a dagger to the heart. And as I said, there were a lot of them. Like it was just, it was wild, man. Like I get the reputation and it's well earned, I think, when it comes to Padre talk, right? I'm like, and you too, like very even keeled, very intellectual. More than emotional, right? Like that's kind of our niche. You and I have like carved out. We're going to be like the sensible people when it comes to the podcast. You've seen me watch Miami football. It ain't that. So you can imagine, you know, like last night and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like
Were you able to go to sleep after that game last night? Like, was it hard to fall asleep?
Oh, I was up. First of all, it took like, you know, it's an 11-minute drive with no traffic back to where we were staying. It took an hour because of the traffic coming out of the... And then I was up, when we got back to the hotel, I was up for like another 2.5 hours. Like, just like,
trying to calm down.
I had 30 cups of coffee.
That's great. Jesse Agler joins us here on Gwen and Chris. I got to get some of these baseball questions in because we haven't really talked. Padres were able to bring back Michael King. Obviously, that was a piece that you kind of needed. You were already going to miss out on one of your big pitchers that left already in Dylan Cease. How big of a signing, obviously, was this for the Padres?
I mean, it felt to me like it was critical, you know, and it was cool because you know how the rumor mill works, right? What was it, a week before that, you saw, you know, the John Boy or whoever had a post. It was like, oh, the finalists for Michael King are the Orioles and the Yankees and the Mets, maybe, I don't remember, some other East Coast team.
Wasn't the Padres, I know.
Yeah, it wasn't that, that's right. And then next thing you knew, you know, AJ did his thing. And, you know, I think, you know, we were at the Michael King press conference and clearly this place has come to mean something deep to Michael King.
Yeah.
Not only to Michael King, but to his lovely wife, Sheila, their newborn, to his parents, to his family. Like, and I relate to this. You know, you come here and it feels like the farthest place in the world from where you're from. And it feels so right. It feels so much like home. And he clearly has that. And I think, you know, that just adds to the value that you're getting. And it allowed you to kind of bring back somebody that is so critical to your on-field thing. And, you know, I talked to both Michael and AJ about it that day. Like, this was not the case with the Padres all that long ago. We're like, it's that kind of free agent destination. And so what, you know, ownership and the business side in terms of attendance and marketing and everything that we've created here, and obviously the baseball side, have manufactured in San Diego, it has completely changed the way free agents view the San Diego Padres. And it is now a top list, a bullet point number one destination for guys, whether they played here or not. And that's something we should probably step back and appreciate a little more often. Not that I got to tell you, but like that wasn't the case for a lot of years.
I think it's just something that kind of just flies under the radar, right? Because every off season, AJ's is right squarely in the mix of things. But it's important to remember that that wasn't all that easy before. You couldn't even get in the door sometimes to talk to some of these free agents now.
And I know people don't want to like go crazy on like the Eric Hosmer talk, but like it when you write the book on this era of Padre baseball, that's chapter one. And getting a guy who was looked at the way he was looked at by other players, you forget everything else. The way he was looked at by other players, he had the ultimate respect after the World Series in Kansas City and what he had accomplished there and the way he came up with that group of guys there. The guys around the league saw Eric Hosmer as a dude, okay? And so when a dude signed here, that raised some eyebrows. That turned some heads. And that kind of got the ball rolling on the whole thing. It's incredible.
There's no doubt. All right, we about 32 days before pitchers and catchers report. How ready are you to get this thing rolling again?
I'll be ready, baby. No, I'm pumped, man. Like, you know, I don't know if it's the same for you, but like, you know, for me, the second the season ends, there's like a little bit of like, oh my gosh, I can breathe. You know, you're upset about the way it ended this year, certainly, but it's like, okay, like, I know I can go to the gym and like take my kids to school every day now. And then for me, like by Thanksgiving, I'm like, you know, I'm like an addict. I'm like scratching my arm. I'm like, I need some baseball. And then the holidays come and that's kind of a good distraction.
Just family time.
But you know, January 1st, it's like, all right, man, let's go. Like, you know, kind of tapping the foot a little bit, like let's get this thing going. So the Canes football team has given me a nice, you know, sporting outlet, I guess. And they got one more, thankfully, 10 days from now, but you know, I'm ready to go. I stayed in Peoria the last two nights for the football game. So I got a little bit of like a
taste, already.
Yeah. I went in, you know, I went into the office. I saw Todd and everybody. So I'm fully ready to go, as I'm sure you are.
Yep, indeed. Jesse, appreciate you coming on, man. I'm happy for you and the rest of the University of Miami. And, you know, I'll be watching the finals along with you, whether we're together or not. We'll be texting one another if we're not. A lot of fun to hear the story about you going out, though. Appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure, man.
Jesse Agler on Gwen and Chris there, my partner, color man, or excuse me, play-by-play man for San Diego Padres.
Wait, I was going to say, you guys switch jobs?
No, I don't want his job. He's got a lot more talking to do than I do.
You know what was, like, not really fun about last night's game? I don't have anything against Miami, but I did not want them to win just so the Ole Miss kids can stick it to Lane Kiffin. So I had that in the back of my head. Because Miami's not like a bad team. I don't hate them or anything like that.
I was rooting for Miami because no one had been talking about them at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, now I'll root for Miami because Jesse's behind it.
They're kind of an afterthought.
That's funny. His son, I don't know much about his son, but his son liked the Froyo machine. His son like an engineer type kid?
Jonah's super smart.
Sounds like
super.
It. Sounds like it.
Let's get to break on the other side. Gwen versus the fans?
Gwen versus the fans.
Let's get it.
I don't know why I did it like that.
I don't either.
All right.